So the day is finally here. It feels like we've been building up to this day for quite some time. The 100th anniversary of Armistice Day, the day the Great War ended. In 1918, the end of what was called the War to End War was celebrated with peace parties up and down the land. School children, including those here in Amington, were given an extra day off to celebrate. Although perhaps it was for the teachers to recover from the headaches from the parties, I'm not sure. The phrase "war to end war" was made popular by H.G. Wells, of all people, and on one level you can see why. It's estimated that the number of soldiers on both sides of the conflict in the First World War was 65 million. Up to 10 million of them lost their lives, and a further 20 million were wounded. New technologies, from aeroplanes to submarines to tanks, were used for the first time. But instead of shortening the war, they simply made it bloodier than any conflict before in history. Until the Second World War, this time between 21 and 25 million soldiers were killed, but the total death toll was in excess of 50 million. Some people put it as high as 80 million, and that doesn't include those killed in the Holocaust or the pogroms in Soviet Russia. The war to end war did nothing of the sort, but ushered in a new century of killing, unlike anything humanity had known before. The only year since 1945 that a member of the British Armed Forces has not been killed was 1968. It's impossible to know for sure, of course, but it's estimated that during the 20th century, something like 187 million people died as a direct result of war. And today, there are something like 60 armed conflicts being fought right now. Statistics such as these, to me, are beyond horrifying. Obviously, and rightly so, the focus of Remembrance Day this year is the centenary of the end of the First World War, 100 years since Armistice Day. In my school services this week, I think it's six I'm up to now. This is my seventh, I've got my eighth remembrance service tomorrow. In my school services, I've been asking the children if any of them know what the word armistice means. Don't know how many of you know what the word armistice means. I had to look it up, I'm afraid. It's not actually a peace treaty, which is what I thought it meant. It simply means a ceasefire. It means a truce. Both sides call a halt to the killing. It is a temporary peace. Because although Armistice Day was the end of the Great War, it certainly was not the end of war, and the guns started firing all too soon again. Long ago, a man sought a perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce a masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tension grew. Only two pictures remained veiled. A judge pulled the cover from one, and a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy grey clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. a little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs, with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones. She manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. There are two kinds of peace. The first is the peace that we heard about in our Bible reading from Revelation. It is the perfect and final peace in which God dwells with his people. Note, we aren't taken away to heaven. Rather, heaven comes to us. The New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. God's dwelling is with us. And then we read those beautiful and famous words from Revelation 21, verse 4. God will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the final armistice day, the final ceasefire, the final truce that brings lasting peace, peace that never ends. This is the peace for which we long, the peace which makes the first armistice day, no matter how important it was, simply a shadow of what is to come. One day, God promises we will know that peace. But until then, there will still be wars, and we will still need to stand in silence and remember and give thanks for those who've given their lives for our freedom. But there is a second kind of peace, and this kind of peace we can know today. This is the peace of that little bird, nesting safely in her branch with the storm clouds above her, the raging torrent of the waterfall beside her, the air full of chill and menace. If you have a normal life, it probably resembles that picture of the waterfall, the stormy skies, far more often than it resembles those pictures of smooth lakes and rolling green hills, blue skies, and tranquil herds of sheep. If you're a normal human being, your life could probably be better described by words like stress, busy, hectic, rather than peaceful, tranquil, and calm. One of the most precious promises in the Bible is that when we pray and give thanks to God in every situation, he will grant us peace which transcends understanding. Again, that word transcend is an unusual word. Simply means God promises peace that doesn't make sense. We can't understand it. And it doesn't make sense because we've no right to feel peace because of the waterfall raging, because of the storms above us, because of the uncertainty and insecurity we have. We have no right to feel peace. And yet, God gives us peace when we pray. Why? How can praying do that? Well, it's because prayer is so much more than a shopping list of stuff we want or things we want God to sort out for us. Prayer connects us to God, to something, to someone who is bigger than us, bigger than our situations, bigger than that waterfall, bigger than that storm. Prayer lifts our eyes out of the mire and the mess that we find ourselves in every day. It lifts us out of that and helps us to see God, who is above, beyond, before, and after all things. That's what Alpha and Omega mean. They're the first and last letters in the Greek alphabet. God is before and he's at the end. He holds the whole of human history in his hands. Prayer is an act of worship because it recognizes that we are creatures and he is God. He is Lord, not us. It puts us in our place, but that's a good thing because it puts us in our proper place, where we belong. It's not to say that everything in our life, we will be kept safe from all harm all the time. But wherever we find ourselves, whatever storm we find ourselves in, God is with us. And ultimately, we rest secure in him. And prayer is the way we are connected to God. It's as important to human beings as breathing is. Do you breathe? I think you do. But do you pray? Do you pray? And to whom do you pray? Because it's possible to pray, but to the wrong person. We should be praying to Jesus. Because prayer is a conversation. I was listening to a podcast this week, and the person being interviewed said that faith isn't about what you believe, it's about who you know. Because prayer is a conversation with a person. And that person loves you. That person died for you. And that person lives for you. And that person's name is Jesus Christ. Like the millions of servicemen and women who have given their lives in armed conflict, so Jesus gave his life, not in a war, not for a temporary armistice, but for peace that lasts. It is because of what he did, not on a battlefield, but on a Roman cross. And then in an empty tomb, as he rose again. It is because of what he did that we know and can have confidence that death itself has been defeated. Death is not the end for those who belong to Jesus Christ. And it's because of that that we can know peace today. Peace, the final and lasting peace when heaven comes to earth, yeah, that's to come. But the peace today is peace we can have amid the raging storms of life, knowing that God is with us. So friends, today as we commemorate the first Armistice Day, which brought a temporary peace, and honour the memory of those who died for it, so let us also give thanks for Jesus, because his Armistice Day brings peace that lasts, brings peace even into the storms of life. And let us be people of prayer, people who pray to Jesus, who find in him the great Prince of Peace, the peace that doesn't make sense, the peace of Jesus Christ.